To you, I hope you've had a beautiful day, and I trust your week has been coming well. As much as possible, avoid distractions. Get your heart in a place to receive God's word. We continue from where we stopped yesterday. Okay, let's go into the word this evening as a green prayer. Thank you, Father, for your spirit that you have so richly given unto us. Upon your resurrection, our hearts are receptive to receive the word of truth, and we declare and decree this evening that your word is taught with accuracy, with clarity, with precision. There is no contradiction, no confusion. Our hearts are open to receive this word this evening. And we declare and decree into this meeting as saints, we are edified and Christ alone is glorified. Hallelujah. And praise God. Run all the way quickly with me. We continue from yesterday. If you missed out on yesterday's teaching, you want to lay your hands on it after this teaching today. And even if you were here for yesterday, you need to admonish to actually go back to that teaching, because we laid the foundation to a building we are trying to construct, so to say. So John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Now, from yesterday's teaching, we're able to pay attention to two categories of people on account of what God does or what God has to give. We said one, first, God loves the world, God loves humanity. And it's important to know that scripture doesn't say for God so loved the Christians, right? Or for God so loved the pastors, or for God so loved the deep believers or serious believers, right? It says for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. So it means that the giving of his only begotten son is not only to Christians. Are we together? All right. The giving of his only begotten son is not only to the believers, right? So out of his love, he gives to man, right? Regardless of who man is, as long as man is man, God gives or God loves. So it says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And so if you look at that carefully, he says that whosoever believes in him. So yesterday, we tried paying attention to the two categories of people we have upon account or on account of the love of God. And we said there are those who believe and those who do not believe. So there are those who believe, and he says, if you believe, you have everlasting life. Are you with me? And if you believe not, you will perish, right? So it says he that believeth should not perish. Right, so there are two categories of people, those that will and those that will not. That will what? Perish. Those that will not perish. So what is the definition or what is the fundamental yardstick to determine those who will perish or those who will have everlasting life? The yardstick first, God's love giving, then man receives. So what does man receiving mean? Man receiving really means that man believes. Right, look at Isaiah 1. We ended on that note yesterday. Look at Isaiah chapter 1 quickly. Isaiah 1:19. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 19. Look at that carefully. Right, are you there? Look at Isaiah chapter 1. Look at verse 19 carefully. Are you in Isaiah? Look at Isaiah chapter 1 quickly. Look at verse 18 for lack of time. Or let's do something. Before you go all the way to Isaiah, look at Isaiah. You're there, right? So look at Isaiah chapter 1. Look at Isaiah chapter 1 verse 18. Yesterday, we paid attention to the multitude of sacrifices that God was questioning or had asked you to bring this to Treadis Court. We also paid attention to some of the things that God said and how he said they should make themselves clean and put away the evil of their doings and cease to do evil. Verse 17, learn to do well, seek judgment, relieve the oppressed, judge the fatherless, plead for the widows. And so he says, verse 18, come now, let's reason together. So he's saying, drop those acts, are we together? Drop those acts, come, let me reason with you. That's what God is saying. So, how else can you read John 3:16? For God so loved the world is that for God wants to reason with the world. Or what is for God so loved the world? For God so loved humanity. Or God so loves humanity. Are we together? God so loved humanity or the world or man? All right. So what is for God so loved man? It is for God wants to reason with man. I always get that. For God wants to reason with man. For God wants to reason with man. Look at that carefully. For God so loved the world means for God wants to reason with man. So there are two people who will determine two categories of people upon account of what God wants to do, which is to reason with man. Altogether, which strictly number one will be God wants to reason with man. Man can either choose to believe or man can choose not to believe. So if man believes, we say man has everlasting life. So a man that receives everlasting life is a man that has decided to reason with God's reason. Altogether, so God wants to reason with man. Man chooses to reason with God or choose to stay away from reasoning with God. One who chooses to reason with God, Bible says he is the one that believes he has everlasting life. How do you really know what I'm saying? Look at John, Isaiah, look at it. Come now, let's reason together, says the Lord, though your sins. So it means that the reasoning of God with man, fundamentally, we start from sins being tackled. Now, yesterday, we looked at Micah 7, and we said something that Micah said. Micah said that God deals with sin and throws sin into the depth of the sea. Yeah, so God throws sin into the depth of the sea. What does depth of the sea really mean? In their world, that is where man doesn't have control over. Are we together, right? So it will mean that God puts sin and separates man from sin. Did you get that? Right? So what does God's reasoning with man entail? It means God wants to separate man from man's iniquity, or God wants to separate man from man's sins. So it says, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Look at verse 19 carefully. If ye being willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. Now look at that carefully. If ye be willing and obedient. What is if ye be willing and obedient? It really means if you believe. I was together. If you believe. So believe what? Believe the offer of God's reasoning. So God, out of his love, offers a reasoning to man. Man receives that reasoning and believes. Are we together? Man receives that reasoning and believes. So in the real sense, man is one who will need to pay good attention to that which he has reasoned to God regarding. Did you see that? So come now, let us join together, says the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. What does that really mean? It means God is merciful. God forgives sins. Altogether. So Micah will say, who's a God like unto thee that wants to reason with man? So God is a God that out of his love, he wants to reason with man. And in reasoning with man, he supplies his life to man. All right. So he says, if ye be willing and obedient, that is, if ye believe, ye shall eat the good of the land. So yesterday, we started looking at what the good of the land is. We said the good of the land is about the water that that a man can take to shower. Or the water that God uses to take a shower for a man and the man becomes clean. Ezekiel 36. All right, are we together? Ezekiel 36, you say, I will sprinkle clean water. I'm just taking a quick recap. So Ezekiel 36, we will say, I will sprinkle clean water on you, on man, and man will be clean. What does that really mean? God will take man from the midst of the heathen and bring them into a land. I would say the land is about his spirit. Are we together? I would say in that land, we have a bread. We have bread, you have a meal. Right, in the land you have a drink, that is water. John 7 yesterday, right? It says that and it came and Jesus came and cried saying, if any man be thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Are we together? For the scripture had said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. So in the land of God, there is what you call rivers of living water. Right? What is river of living water? River of living water really means that there's water that is made available to quench the thirst. And to clean the body of man, or to clean man, to make man clean. Are we together? And we concluded and said yesterday, and even though we've made proper conclusions in previous teachings, and we said that the water that cleans man is the same water man drinks, such that man's thirst is quenched forever. Are we together? And that water is the same land. In the Bible, we say, I'll bring it to a land, or what you call Canaan, the land that is flowing with what? Milk and honey. And so the land flowing with milk and honey really is the land that has water and bread. Are we together? So the milk and honey is not different from the water and bread, right? So the milk and honey is the water and bread that man drinks, and man's thirst is quenched, or man's hunger is quenched, or man's hunger is tackled, right? So God is the meal that man eats. So when man eats the meal, right, of God, what do we say man has done? Man has concluded or successfully reasoned with God the way God wanted to reason with man. So who are you? You are one who, in believing the gospel, you have reasoned with God regarding sin. Look at that again. Isaiah 1:18. So if you'll be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. A lot of people believe that the good of the land is a contract. The good of the land is a political position. And the good of the land is a good job. No, that's an insult. Yeah, that's an insult, right? And good of the land that somebody who doesn't reason with your God has, or probably even gives you, or can give you for free. Do you get that, right? And the good of God's land really will be that which only God can give man, such that no man else can have it without God giving man. And that's actually the life of God, right? That's the spirit of God. That's the water of God. That's the bread of life, the bread of heaven. Are we together? So, we used to teach this a couple years ago, over a decade ago probably, that if you be willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. Really means that if you obey God, when I'm willing to obey God's word, the commandment of God is not grievous. Right? God, when God says it, he has a plan. You see, God can say go into danger, but he has a good in front, right? Bible says, if you be willing and you are obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. And what we really think is, man wants to, or man obeys God so that there is a reward, or a reward of what? You have a good job, you have a good car, you have a good house, you have so many things material. And that's a real thing. So that's what people call the good of the land. Well, the good of the land is the good. And that's why you see, look at it this way. A man who doesn't believe in your God, imagine we assume that the good of the land is the presidential position, right? A man who doesn't believe in your God can get into a presidential position. Altogether, if you assume that the good of the land is a senatorial position or a governorship position, are we together, a prime minister position? A man who doesn't reason with your God can eat that good of the land without your God. It's of no need at all. Are we together? Right. So it means we need to pay attention to what exactly does God's word teach about the good of the land, right? And the good of the land is only eaten by those people who their sins have been tackled. Don't forget, the context is, come now, let's reason together. So the coming now, let's reason together is so that God deals with the sin of man, with the sins of man. So a believer has eaten the good of the land. Are we together? You see, you might not have the best of jobs. You might not have your dream job. You might not have your dream car. But dear saints, I put it to you for free that you've eaten the good of God's land. That is, you've eaten the bread of life, because the bread is the good in God's land. Are we together? The bread really is about his spirit, John 6. Are we together, right? So it says, if you be willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. So go back to John 3:16, where we started this evening. Look at John chapter 3, verse 16. John 3:16. Yeah, so yesterday we paid attention a lot to the mercies of God, the compassion of God. It says, Lamentations 3:22, it's of the Lord's mercy that we are not consumed, because his compassion does not fail. It says, they are new every morning, great is thy faithfulness. And we said yesterday that every morning is an opportunity for the saints to remind himself of the compassion of God, or the reasoning of God, or to remind himself of what God does with sin. That is, God takes sin and puts sin in the depth of the sea. Well, mind you, you see, when I'm saying depth of the sea, there is no sea here really, right? So don't lose what I'm saying, right? Get what I'm saying, right? The depth of the sea really will be that field or that world when man cannot tamper with what is there. Mind you, not in our world, right? In navigating your Bible in the March edition, what we were able to establish in that series was we were able to establish certain principles on how to read the Bible. How do you read the Bible? How do we read the Bible? How do we study the Bible, right? And we gave some rules, and we said that in the real sense, we need to sit where the audiences of the authors of the scripture sat to see what they saw. You see, when the book of Micah will be written, you were not on the mind of Micah when he will prophesy, right? You were not on the mind of Moses when he would write, right? They would write to their immediate world. So just the same way, there are some words that are used in the 1920s, different from the words used in the early 2000s, right? With this 23 years into the 2000s. Right, and in 50 years from now, some words that we are using today will not make sense to the people of that world. right? So if they read a letter I write today, they will need to sit where you, my recipient, is sitting to see what you saw so that you can understand what you understood, by extension, understand what I meant when I wrote to you. Altogether, right? So John 3:16 now says, for God so loved the world. So what is it really saying? For God really supplies an avenue to reason with man. Isaiah, right? Yeah. So it says, for God so loved the world that he gave, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Sorry, forgive me. Sometimes I just need to re-quote the order of scriptures before I get to where I'm looking for. So look at John 3. It says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have what? Everlasting life. So what is the everlasting life? That is the good of the land that man eats when man becomes willing and obedient. Are we together? So you are that man who was willing and obedient, and you that really means you believe the message of the gospel. So by default, you are one who has come into the land of God that is flowing with milk and honey. That is, you are really in the land of God's spirit. Altogether, that's beautiful, right? So what a beautiful recap, right? So you go all the way, look at 1 John 3. I know that was the last scripture we used yesterday. So yesterday, we tried to pay a lot of attention to the water, the spirit, the bread, the wine, you know, the land of God, and what have you. But let's go to 1 John 3. Mm-hmm. So 1 John 3 says, hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us. So we paid attention to that part yesterday. Titus tells you that in hope of eternal life, which God promised. So when you see God lay down his life for us, it is not an overnight thought or change in mind of God. It has been a promise from the beginning. Titus 1. Look at Titus 1 again. Titus chapter 1, verse 2. It says, in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. So at the beginning, you see a promise of eternal life, which is God making a promise to supply light to man, or life to man. We saw that yesterday, John 1, in him, John 1, 4, in the beginning was the word. And we said in him was life, and the life was the light of the world. And you know, Paul was saying to the Corinthians, you see, if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of soul has blinded their minds, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, to shine on them. Verse 6 now says, for God who commanded light to shine out of darkness has shone in our hearts, that great light. So the promise of light has always been from the beginning. That has been the promise of life. Are we together? So when you see, hereby perceive the love of God that he laid down his life, it is that life that we see laid down really has been a promise from time. Out of what? Out of his love. Out of his compassion, out of his mercies, out of his loving kindness, out of his graciousness. So yesterday we saw that God is gracious, God is kind. That's not it. See, that is not a New Testament teaching. You know, some of us, we think that the grace and mercy of God is the New Testament teaching. So it means anytime you want to read, just go to Ephesians, go to Galatians. But anytime you want to fight war, right, you want to fight a great war, go to 1 Kings. Right, one time you want to offer sacrifice, go to Numbers, or you go to Exodus, or you go to Deuteronomy, or you go to whatever book. But really, everything that you see Jesus and disciples will teach would have their foundation in the writings of Moses, and extension the Psalms and the prophets. Did you see that? Right, I said that yesterday, and I've said that over the years, that Jesus did not quote Galatians. There was not a time Jesus stopped and said, open your Bible to Galatians or Titus. No. Right, so Paul will write Galatians, and Paul's writing of Galatians will have its foundation in the writings of Moses, by extension, the Psalms and the prophets. Very important to note. You see, why do I repeat things I repeat? It's because there is sifting repetition. Now, one of the things you don't want to do is to assume you know me, right? And you know the scriptures I will use, and you know how I talk. Right, that's not good for your heart. That's not good for yourself. Right, who ends up losing? You do. Are we together, right? So I would admonish that when you listen to me, as much as possible, get into that habit, no matter where you are, to write notes, take notes down. Are we together? Because you really, you know, if I ask, even this is just 20 minutes into today's teaching, and I don't think all of you can be able to remember all the scriptures and all the explanations I've given today from today's teaching. Well, you might be able to guess that, oh, this is how I explain certain scriptures, this way I... But really, there's safety in writing down the things a lot of times over and over again. Let me tell you for free. See, a lot of things that have stayed with me over the years have been as a result of listening to the same things over and over and over again. It will interest you that I listen to myself. I listen to myself a whole lot of time. In fact, there are very few messages I've preached in a couple of years that I have not listened to altogether. Now, what am I listening to? In listening to them, there is safety. You see, I can actually get myself back on track on some conversations, get better explanations. But the most important thing is I don't put myself in a position to say, I know what he's about to say. I know what she's about to say. No, write it down over and over and over again. You see, that I'm recapping yesterday's teaching doesn't really mean that you should just wait till I say, let's start today. Why? Because you really will not know when I start today. Why? Because I started today. Do you get that? Right? So I have started today, not because I will tell you this is the point I'm starting today. It is really because I have started today. I will together. So take their habit, write down notes, take notes down, write down the scriptures. Don't just write down Isaiah 1 and John 3 and be listening. No, that doesn't help you. It cannot, like I say, for free, it cannot help you. You really cannot grow by just writing down the scriptures that I'm speaking about. Yeah, I don't do that. Altogether, I don't expect you to do that, right? So you take note, how am I writing scripture or how am I teaching, right? What am I explaining per verse? What am I explaining per scripture we open to? Why? Because every scripture I'm opening to has a meaning in the teaching I'm doing per time, right? So happy are you when you actually listen to a pastor or a teacher of the word and don't assume that you know everything, or I can quote all the scriptures and all of that, and you don't write. Altogether, write it down. So if you wrote everything I said yesterday and I'm still saying everything I said yesterday today is a new day. They are new every morning. What is every morning? What is they are new every morning? Every morning is an opportunity for you to rewrite the facts or the reasonings of God. Are we together? Anyways, so Titus 1 says, in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. So God promised life right from the very beginning. All right? Yeah. So go back to 1 John. 1 John 3. 1 John chapter 3. Look at that carefully. So 1 John 3 says, hereby perceive we the love of God because he laid down his life for us. We've paid attention to that. So the life he laid down for us in the real sense has been the life that has been promised, that Titus spoke about from when? Before the world began. From the beginning. Are we together? Now the next line is very important. He says, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. That means we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. So it means that when we see that which God has done towards us, we ought to do the same for our brethren. All together. Now look at verse chapter 4. Chapter 4, right? Or before you go to chapter 4, look at chapter 3, 1 John 3, 1. 1 John 3, verse 1. Carefully. Look at 1 John chapter 3, verse 1. What does it say there? It says, behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us. It says, behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, right? That we should be called the sons of God. Now, what manner of love has the Father bestowed upon us? He has separated and taken care of our sins. Are we together, right? How else can you say that? He has made us to be sons. You say, look at that again. That we should be called the sons of God. That we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not because it knew him not. Are we together? Behold, beloved, now are we the sons of God. So are we sons of God? Yes. Now, mind you, the word son there doesn't necessarily mean or doesn't mean the male species of humanity. And the word there, son, just really means that which has an inheritance or that which has a possession or that which has something to inherit. Are we together? Right. So son of God, you know, some people will ask questions. Why is it the Bible is always calling people son of God, son of God? The Bible is whatever. In the real sense, you must understand that their word and the use of their words are not the way we use words in our world. Sound deep. Well, what I just really mean is the use of words have changed over time. And mind you, the Bible wasn't even written in English. Right, so son is an English word we call English word today. But when you go back to the root words, you know, it's not speaking about the male species, right? So behold, not always speaking about the male species, right? So the context determines that. So behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. So the sons of God, there will be male, female inclusive who would receive of the reasoning of God. That is, they believe, that is, they have everlasting life. Do you get that? Right? Now, don't just stop there. Now, 16 now says, hereby perceive the love of God. So, behold what manner of love is actually another way of saying, hereby perceive the love of God, that he laid down his life. So, what is that he laid down his life? Right? In that is that we receive his life, so we become sons of God. That is, we now have an inheritance. We now have a possession. We are now called children of God. Right? Now, chapter 4 now says, verse 10, hearing is love, hearing is love. So it says, behold what manner of love the Father, right? Verse 16, hereby perceive we the love of God. 1 John 4:10, it says, herein is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be a propitiation for our sins. Do you understand? Can you say again? Love is linked to sin. Are we together? What is come now? Let us reason together. It is God is showing love to mankind. Are we together? What does that reasoning do? It turns sins to red to white as wool. Are we together? What is that? Love tackles sin. So the love of God tackles the sin of man. The love of God tackles the iniquity that is lying in the bosom of man. Are we together? So chapter 4 of 1 John now says the same thing again. It says, herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be a propitiation for our sins. Look at it again. It says, behold, beloved, verse 11, if God loves us, we ought also to love another. That's the same thing as 1 John 3, right? 1 John 3 says, hereby perceive the love of God because he laid down his life, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Are we together? So it means that upon account of the love of God, there is a response for man and an action upon account of the response of man, right? So let me say it differently. So God supplies by his love, right, a forgiveness of sin, that is, supplies his life, that is, forgiveness of sins to man. When man opens their heart and they're receptive, upon account of that reception, man has an action. That man ought to love his brethren altogether. That man ought to love. Look at it again, verse 11, 1 John 4. Beloved, if God so loved us, that means if in such a manner, this manner that God loves us, he says we ought also to love one another. We also ought to love one another. So it means the love that God demonstrates to man by extension will require an action from man. Are you there? Are you there? So go all the way to John 13:34. John 13:34. Look at that carefully. John 13:34. Now he says, a new commandment I give unto you. Now this is Jesus talking. A new commandment I give unto you. What's the commandment? It says that ye love one another as I have loved you. Is that the same thing 1 John 3:16 is teaching? Oh yes. Right? Is that the same thing 1 John 4:10 and 9 is really teaching? 1 John 4:10 and 11 is teaching? Oh yes. Are we together? Right? So it means that by extension, the saints needs to pay attention to this. So Jesus says, I give a new commandment. And this commandment really is, love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. Look at that again. So he's not mixing his words. He says, that ye love one another. That's John 13:34. A new commandment, that is a new charge, a new instruction. Are we together? I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. So he now says emphasis. Look at it again. Repetition of one another. Verse 35 now says, but by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye love one another. See, pay attention to what I'm going to be teaching from now onwards, just like you've been paying attention from yesterday. Are we together? So this new commandment says, love one another even as I have loved you. Now, the love of God that God demonstrated to man is an unconditional love. So it means that Jesus is now saying that upon account of what you see as love, in the real sense, demonstrate that same love to one another. You see, unfortunately, in our world today, we have lots of people who explain away very basic, clear-cut scriptures in the scripture. Are we together, right? This is not hard to see. right? But I can tell you for free, it's really hard to see for a lot of people. Why? Because the hearts of a lot of people, they allow it to envelope the most of their being. Are we together? Now, listen to what I'm about to say carefully. Look at Matthew 22. Matthew 22. Don't forget, I give you a new commandment, John 13:34, that ye love one another as I have loved. So it means that the way we give love is based on the action of God's love towards man. Yesterday, we tackled God's love towards man. Gave man bread, gave man water, gave man shower. Are we together? And they gave man a land. Are we together? Unconditional love. Micah said, who is a God that loves like this? Jesus will now say in John 13:35, and he will say, by this shall men know. Are we together? Now look at Matthew 22. It says, verse 36, it says, Master, which, they asked Jesus, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Are we together? Then Jesus said unto him and said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. Look at that carefully. Jesus said unto him, thou shalt, so they asked the question, what's the great commandment? You see, this is linked to John 13:34, right? What is the new commandment? Or what can you summarize the law with or in? Do you see that? He says, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and the great commandment. Now, where is this teaching taken from? Look at Deuteronomy 6:5. Some of us believe that Jesus was just teaching from the blues. Well, Jesus had Moses to read, the prophets to read, and the Psalms to read. So look at Deuteronomy 6:5. Right, look at Deuteronomy 6:4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Are we together? And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. Is that where Jesus is teaching from? Oh, yes. Right? All right. So look at Matthew 22 again. He says, and Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. Now look at verse 38. Look at verse 38. This is the first and the great commandment. Now look at the next verse. It says, and the second. Now don't think about first and second in regards to number 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. And for lack of better explanations, one of the things we did was we can actually look at the first and second as 1A and 1B, all a family of one. Altogether. Well, so the second is like unto it. What is like unto it? The second is like unto the first. What is the first? Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy mind, with all thy soul. What is the second? Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Right? Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Now look at what Jesus says in verse 40. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophet. So Jesus is saying you can summarize a foundational foundation, right, on these two commandments, which is commandment 1A, commandment 1B. Love the Lord thy God with all thy mind, with all thy heart, with all thy mind, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all thy heart, right? And love thy neighbor as thyself. Right? What is love your neighbor as thyself? We'll look at that shortly. Now look at Leviticus, Genesis to Leviticus numbers, right? So Leviticus chapter 19. Sorry, I did that again. Right? It helps me, right? Are you there? Are you not there? We are there, right? So look at Leviticus chapter 19, verse 18. Are we together? Thou shalt not avenge nor bear any grudge against the children of thy people. But thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. I am the Lord. Are we together? I am the Lord. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. So is the teaching of loving thy neighbor as thyself a New Testament teaching? Oh, well, yes and no. Yes, to the degree in which you admit that it is an Old Testament teaching. What is Old Testament teaching? Like I said, Jesus did not have those demarcations in his word. Are we together, right? After the crucifixion, before the crucifixion of Jesus, right, and before the ascension, the book of Ephesians was not written. Do you get that? So it means that in the real sense, to a very large extent, when Jesus teaches about love, so when Jesus is answering Matthew 22, what is the great commandment? He's teaching from Deuteronomy and Leviticus and all the prophets. So he's saying on these two commandments, hang all the law and the prophets. Are we together? On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. So if you look carefully in Matthew 22. What is Matthew 22? What is Matthew 13? What did he say? He says, I give you a new commandment that thou shalt love thy neighbor as I have loved you. So if you put them into categories, right, you will find out that in Matthew 22, there is thou shalt love the Lord thy God, right? And if you put it in 1 John 4, it is hearing is love made perfect, or really hearing is love, right? Hearing is love. Right. Adina explains in 1 John 3:13 that hereby perceive the love of God that He laid down His life. You know, says we ought to lay down our lives for our brethren. So, what is we ought to lay down our lives for our brethren? 1B. All right. So let's tackle this together. So go all the way to John 13. John 13. Are we together? Right. So if we said from Matthew 28 look at John 13, look at Matthew 28. Sorry about that. Go back to Matthew 28. Just leave your hands in the pages of the scriptures. Look at Matthew 28. Are we together? Matthew 28 verse 37. Are we together? Right. So thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and that with all thy soul and with all thy mind. That is the first and great commandment. So what can we call that? Number 1A. Now look at the next verse. It says, and the second is like unto it. What is the second? Number 1B. What is number 1B? Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Right? So 1A is love the Lord thy God. 1B is love thy neighbor as thyself. Right? Look at John 13. Look at John 13:34. A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another. So what is that ye love one another? Is 1B. Right, so don't think because A comes before letter B, it means that A is thou shalt love thy one another. No, you just think about it. We explained 1A in Matthew 22 to speak about thou shalt love the Lord thy God. Then we say 1B has to do with loving thy neighbor. So when it says Matthew 13:34, that ye love one another, what is love one another? That ye love thy neighbor. What is that ye love thy neighbor? That is 1B. Are we together? When it now says, as I have loved you, what is as I have loved you? That is 1A. So it means that 1A, as I have loved you, is equal to thou shalt love thy Lord, thy God, with all thy heart, with all thy mind, with all thy soul. So let me say it differently. So it means 1A is equal to thou shalt love the Lord, thy God, with all thy heart, with all thy mind, with all thy soul, which is equal to as I have loved thee. So it means that another way to say thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul is as God has loved you. So what does thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul really mean? It really means receive of the love that God gives to man. It's not far-fetched, right? They're all in 1A. So it means you can replace 1A with everything that is equal to themselves, right? For those of you who love mathematics, don't integrate it, don't differentiate it. Are we together? Just stick with the equal sign. Did you see that? Right? So is thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy mind, with all thy soul is equal to as I have loved you. As I have loved you. Now the second verse now says the second one is 1B. So the second commandment is equal to 1B, is equal to thou shalt love thy neighbor. Thou shalt love thy neighbor. Now in John 13, what did that mean? Thou shalt is equal to thou shalt love one another. Do you get that? Right? So it means that by default, see, you need to pay attention to something. The love that God gives to man, no other being on earth, no other God on earth, or no other God can demonstrate that kind of love to man. Did you see that? Right? So God has a unique love He demonstrates to man. So if God has a unique love He demonstrates to man, when He gives instruction that should follow on account of that love, it means it is way more than the average love that man speaks naturally. Are we together? Right? So look at it again. John 13:34. A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. 35 now says, by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples. Altogether, if ye love one another. So it means that this kind of love He is teaching is not the love we find in the market square. It's not the love we find amongst natural men. Are we together? It's a unique kind of love, such that when we see that kind of love, we say this is a love that only the Father gives. Do you get that? Right? Are we together? You see, let me say this carefully, right? For you who your sins have been forgiven, right? You owe man forgiveness. Are we together? For you who your sins have been forgiven, you owe man forgiveness. Why? Because that which God has done with your sins, right, despite where you were, that God has picked you and brought you into his kingdom, right, you now, upon account of receiving that, you have an action. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Let me tell you a question. If God did not know that man can offend man, there would have not been a need for God to instruct man to love thy neighbor. You would have thought that I love thy neighbor, is it not just normal? Yeah. But a lot of us, actually, we only love people we think love us. Very ridiculous. I want to get as believers, right? We only extend, and you know, you don't have to be a Christian to know that you love somebody who supposedly acts like they love you. Right, but it's a kind of love that the Bible teaches that is not just going to stop at loving those who love you alone. It will go further to loving any other man as long as that man is your neighbor, or as long as that man is another. Right, love one another, love one another, love one another. Right. So if look at Ephesians 5. Ephesians 5. Are you there? Look at Ephesians 5 and verse 1. Ephesians 5, 1. Are we together? Ephesians 5, verse 1. Be ye therefore followers of God as their children. Now, what's the word followers of God? That word there, followers of God, is a word that means to be an imitator, to be one who mimics, to be one who imitates, to be one who mimics, to be one who copies and pastes. Are we together? You know how when you copy and paste, that's control C, right? And you paste with control V, right? So it means that when you see God the Father, you are safe as a son to control C so that you can control V with another. Are we together, right? So what happens? You first receive of God. Then when you receive of God, you become God's very own. Then when you see God, when you understand God, you now see the things you can control C. So that you can what? Control V. So who are you control V-ing to? You are control V-ing that which you've seen, that you've controlled C, so that you can actually paste to another or thy neighbor. Did you get that? Right? So look at it again. Be ye therefore, look at Ephesians 5 verse 1. Be ye therefore followers of God as their children. Look at the instruction he gives, verse 2, and walk in love. So this following he's talking about is not just coming to church and coming for service, right? He specifies it as walk in love, and walk in love, and walk in love. So does the Bible authoritatively say to a believer, walk in love? Yes. Why do you think the Bible can say it with clear, as a clear-cut instruction? It's because when the Bible says walk in love, the believer should not look so far before he sees a template of what walking in love is. Just look at Christ. How do you know what I'm just saying? Look at verse 2. And walk in love as Christ also hath loved us. What is walk in love? 1B. Yeah, this I know you're following. Right? What is walk in love? 1B. What is 1B? Love another. Love one another. Love thy neighbor. Right? Walk in love is 1B. That is the action that you will give upon account of 1A. Right? So when it says walk in love as their children, that's 1B. So it says as Christ also hath loved us. That is what? 1A. John 13:34. As I have loved you. Matthew 22. Love the Lord that love God with all thy heart, with all thy mind, with all thy soul. Which is equal to as I have loved you, or as God has loved you, receive of that. Do you see that? So be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also had loved us and had given us for an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savour. Are we together? So you see, so it means that the Bible really will be summarized within the confines of 1A, 1B. Jesus said, I give you a new commandment. Or Jesus said, the first and great commandment, and the second is this. All together. You know, before you read Ephesians 5, verse 1 and 2, you should and must have read Ephesians chapter 4, verse 31. Ephesians 4, 31. Look at Ephesians 4, verse 31, carefully. Look at Ephesians 4, 31. It says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Look at that carefully. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. So he didn't say, people can be funny. What he is not saying is with malice, like keep malice and, well, anyways, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. What he's really saying is malice is included in the bitterness, the wrath, the anger, the evil speaking, clamor that needs to be put away from you. Now, who will do the action of putting away? It is you. You will do it. How do you know? Look at verse 32. And be ye kind one to another, tender hearted. So, in the real sense, how do you know? So, when you see a believer copying bitterness, where is the believer copying bitterness from? It cannot be from God. Are we together? Do believers copy bitterness? You see, happy are you if you give yourself the right answer to that question. Are we together? Does a believer have the tendency to copy bitterness? You see, what I'm saying will make sense to you next tomorrow, Thursday. Now, when I'm going to teach about ye ask amiss and receive not, right? We're going to talk about what was James teaching, right? And we'll find out that he was teaching about some conducts that are of this world. They are earthly, they are sensual, they are not of above or from above. Are we together, right? So, can a believer walk in bitterness to another, to his neighbor? Oh, yes. Where will the believer find bitterness? It is not being copied from his God. Are we together, right? You see, when a man is bitter towards another, a logical explanation might be attached to it. But Paul says, let all bitterness be put away. Are we together? So, can a man be bitter towards another? Yes. Can a believer be bitter towards another believer? Oh, yes. Can a pastor be bitter towards another pastor? Oh, yes. You see, that a pastor is bitter towards another pastor doesn't make what they are doing right. Do you get that? Right? Now, there's room for growth. People grow. Are we together? But the fact remains that you don't justify a devilish action because a pastor does it. You know, I've said it to you before as a church, right? That I walk in bitterness towards a man. It is ridiculous that you stop talking to another man because your pastor doesn't talk to another man or that man. You know, so I'm not saying you go and buy rice and go and buy beans and be eating, or go and buy spag and be enjoying yourself with them. No, it is that you were once saying hello to a man, right? And you stop saying hello to that man just because your pastor, right? Never ever do. You see my lips? Get this video and record it and keep it on your phone. Never ever do that. Never do that. Never. What is that? You are walking outside of that which is from heaven. Are we together? So Paul says, be ye followers. That is, be a mimicker. So can a man mimic bitterness? Yes. Where will man find bitterness to mimic? It cannot be from God or Christ or from heaven or from above. Are we together? Get me clear. I'm not mixing my words, right? I will not be happy with you, really, if I find out a day, for any reason, I walk in my carnality in the flesh, right? And I stay away from talking to someone, yeah, for any reason. And you, who you were not close to the person before, really. You were not really as close, or you were not really even close friends before, right? I'm not saying that that is a time for you to go and say you want to go and build the best of friendships. But I'm trying to say you have a very plateau, very, very basic hello, hi relationship to the person. But you now stop saying hi to that person because you're pastor. That's carnal. Yeah, that's clear. I want to get that. It's safer for you as a believer to admit certain truths that are carnal and actually admit that you are growing, than to try to explain it in whatever ridiculous context the context can be, right? So he says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger, right, and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you. Now, who is to do that action? You yourself. Are we together? So who is to put bitterness away? You deliberately putting an action to put bitterness away. That is 1B. So when you put bitterness away, what are you doing? Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. No. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. So what is thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself? It will be thou shalt love thy neighbor as ye have been loved. Are we together? Right? So bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking, malice. Right? What is malice? Now, can a pastor walk in malice to another pastor? Yes. Can a senior chief apostle walk in malice towards another pastor? Yes. Towards another chief, big bishop, daddy, whatever you want to call him. Yeah. Is that what the believer should do? Oh, no. Are we together? Is that what the believer should do? Oh no. You know, one of the things I did in last series in the UK church, we don't have a recording actually, was answer questions around keeping your heart, guarding your heart, keeping yourself in a safe space and all of that. Some of us, we do ridiculous things and hide it under, we are keeping our heart safe or sane. The heart that Christ died for. Are we together? Right? See. Okay, anyways, he says, let all bitterness, right? You should begin to get the tone of the series already, yeah? So let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, right? So he didn't stop there. He now says in verse 32, be ye kind one to another. Now, is the Bible teaching be kind to people because they are kind to you? No. Go all the way to Matthew chapter 6. Are we together? All right? Yeah, before you go to Matthew 6, look at James 1. Ooh, thank you, Lord Jesus. You see, what I'm saying, that my mouth is twisting well and twisting fine, and it looks like it's sounding good, doesn't mean it's the easiest of things. But the fact remains, as a believer, we need to admit that we need to keep renewing our minds on the reasoning with God. Are we together? Look at James. Is that where I said you should go to? James 1. Are we together? Look at James 1. Right? If man doesn't offend another man, there will be no need for an instruction to be followers of God. There will be no need for an instruction to walk in love. The reason why walk in love is an instruction in the Bible is because man in the midst of man, very manful. Are we together? Look at James. James 1, verse 20. Don't forget, you're in Matthew 6, really. You are in, where are you really? Ephesians 5, right? So look at James 1, verse 20. It says, for the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, right? And receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. But be ye what? Doers of the word. So can a man actually hear the word and not do the word? Oh, yes. Are we together? Can a man hear the word, know the word, and not do the word? Yes, so, right? So a man can know the word. In fact, you see, there's some people, and the way they quote scriptures, you say that's the word of God, or the word of God Junior, or the fruit of the word of God, right? They can quote all the scriptures, but there's such a thing called doing the word, right? James will say, be ye therefore doers of the word, and not hearers only. So can a man be a hearer only? Yes. What is James' admonition? Do not just hear. Hear so you can do. So it means the word of God is to be heard so that it can be done. Did you see that? The word of God needs to be heard so that it can be done. The word of God needs to be heard so that it can be done. I'll say one more time. The word of God needs to be heard so that it can be done. Let me say it gently. The word of God needs to be heard so that it can be done. Are we together? Right? So look at Matthew 6, where you are. We'll come back to James 1. Yeah. I think I want us to climax in James in this series. Look at Matthew 6. Matthew 5, I'm sorry. Matthew 5, verse 39. Matthew 5, 39. Matthew chapter 5, verse 39. But I say unto you that ye resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on thy right cheek, turn to him the other also. Well, this is not a 2023 book. It wasn't written in 2021. Are we together? So it means there are lots of things you don't take literally, right? And there are some things you take literally. Amen? Yes, oh, yes. Because someone can say, this is not taken literally, but why are you saying we should follow God literally? but I say unto you that ye resist not evil. Well, I'll pay attention to this quickly. Right? He says, when somebody smites you on their right cheek, right? And take turn to him the other also. Now, what a lot of people think this means is when they slap you on your left cheek, turn the right one, or the right one, turn the left one, so they slap you again. No, that's not what he's teaching. That's not what he's teaching. I would gather. You see, there are some slaps that when they get to you, you will not have the energy to even turn the other face. Do you understand? There's some slap. You know, there are some slaps that take people to coma. Are we together, right? So imagine somebody say he wants to fulfill the scriptures, right? Even though I'm going to come and wait, as I'm going to come, I'm on the hospital bed, don't carry me yet, the other face, I've turned, let that man come and slap me again. No. You see, when he says turn thy cheek to the other one, what he's really saying is find a way to resolve it quickly. Are we together, right? That's a figure of speech, another way of saying, we'll look at that tomorrow. Find a way to resolve that quickly. Did you get that? So, when he says, and if any man should seal thee at the law and take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. That is not saying if somebody steals your shoe, go and pack all your wardrobe and give them. No, it is find a way to let go quickly. Find a way to resolve as soon, you know what, ASAP, as soon as possible. As soon as possible, right? Why do you think that's a good instruction from Jesus? Well, Paul emphasizes as well. He says, let all bitterness and malice. So a man is keeping, so slapping there might not always be literal slap. You know, you can be slapped without a finger touching your face. Are we together, right? He slapped me. And what I mean by slapping means I felt embarrassed. I felt whatever name you want to call it, right? But in the real sense, what is Jesus saying? He says, when ye are slapped, no matter the slap, figurative, literal, or spiritual, physical, right? He says, let there be an attitude of trying to resolve quickly. Why? Because in the real sense, that is what following Jesus will expect from you. Altogether. Well, I don't want to dwell on that today because we'll come back there soon. But look at 43. Ye have heard that it has been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor. So thou shalt love thy neighbor. We saw that in Leviticus 17. But Jesus now goes further and says, and hate thy enemy. Altogether, right? And I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. Are we together? Now, why do you think this is an instruction? Because there will be people who will despitefully use you. There are those who will disrespect you. There are those who will want to keep malice with you. There are those who will dishonor you. There are those who will want to fight you. There are those who will want to steal from you. If those possibilities do not exist, there will be no instruction to walk in love. Are we together? So Jesus teaches walk in love. Look at how he says it now. He says, I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you. So is there a tendency for another neighbor to curse you? Yes. What should you do to them? Bless them. Is there a tendency for another neighbor to hate you? Yes. What should you do to them? Love them. Now, why should you love a man that hates you? It is because you are not responding to the man based on what the man is doing to you, but you are responding to the man based on what God has done to you, what God has done for you. Altogether, right? So he now says, and pray for them that despitefully use you. You know, I say something over time, and let me say it again today, right? You cannot successfully hate a man that you pray for. You cannot successfully hate a being that you pray for. You cannot, except you're not praying for them. Altogether. So when you find yourself in a place where your heart is really gross regarding another human, what are you not doing? You are not praying for them. Altogether. See, do men do terrible things? Oh, yes. Yes. I put it to you for free. In case you've not experienced, I'm telling you for free ahead. Yeah? Men, because you're in the midst of men, you will find men do terrible things. You see, you will hear things that men will do. You're saying, do people do things this way? Do people act this way? So before that happens, you already have instruction in the Bible. Plenty. It didn't start from Jesus. It started from Moses. Leviticus 19, Deuteronomy 6, 5. Anyways, so if you look at verse 44 again, Matthew 5, 44. Love your enemies. Love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Right? Look at verse 45. That ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. You see, that's what Paul is teaching in Ephesians 5. Be ye therefore followers of God. That is, be ye mimickers of God. What is being mimickers of God? Look at how God loves. Look at Romans 5. You know, a lot of times, one of the reasons why a lot of us actually keep malice is because we think too highly of ourselves. Did you hear that? Yeah. Let that resonate with you. Right? One of the reasons why you think you can keep or you should keep malice for years into decades. In fact, some people keep malice and it's transferred to their children. They really think highly of themselves. Right, you forget yourself so soon. Look at Romans 5. Look at Romans 5, verse 5. Romans 5:5, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. So you were once without strength, you were once the ungodly, that was when Christ died for you. You see, Christ did not wait for you to become a good or godly person before he died for you. No, whilst we were yet in that without strength, in case you miss it, well, look at verse 6. When we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. Look at verse 8. But God commended his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners. Are we together? While you were yet sinners. You see, the reason why it is difficult to forgive is because you forgot yourself so soon to actually remember or forgot that you were once a sinner. You were once without strength. And God, in his overwhelming love, picked you from the miry clay and set your feet upon the solid rock. Are we together? Right? So, but when you think of yourself as too highly, right? And you look at Romans 12. You see Romans 5. Look at Romans 12. Look at Romans 12 quickly. Romans 12 quickly. Are we together? Romans 12 quickly. Romans 12, 10. Romans 12, 10. We'll come back to this tomorrow. It says, be ye kindly affectionate one to another. Is that 1A or 1B? 1B. Are we together? Be ye therefore kindly affectionate one to another with what? Brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another. Well, we'll explain that tomorrow. But look back to Romans 5. Romans 5. Romans 5. Romans 5. So Romans 5:8, he says, but God commended his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Look at verse 10. For if when we, you, me and I, you, we were enemies. We were enemies. So is God an enemy-loving God? Yes, God is an enemy-loving God. So because God is an enemy-loving God, that is why you can follow God and be an enemy-loving God or enemy-loving believer. Are we together? Are we together? Are we together? Well, if you look carefully at verse 10 again, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son. Much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. So when Jesus says, love your enemy, is it far-fetched? No, now you were once his enemy when he loved you. Matthew 6. Go back all the way to Matthew 6. Matthew 5, I'm sorry. So, when he says, love your enemies. So you see, there's some things that should be too big in your mouth to say if you are guilty of it. Do you get that? Right? You cannot really be warning your sibling or your sister or your partner or whatever, right, to stop eating by 11 p.m. And you, it is 11 p.m. you prefer to soak, you know, yeah, whatever you want to soak. Are we together? Right? Or you want to eat pizza by 11:39 p.m. You know, you will not really have the mouth as much as possible, right? To say that, to stop eating at 11:30 p.m. Well, so why do you think Jesus will have the audacity to say love your enemies? It's not a mistake. It's because he is a loving, enemy-loving God. You were yet once an enemy. You see, one of the things we find in this life is that a lot of times we categorize sins into different dimensions. Right? And really, what categorizes sin in the real sense is actually based on the environment you find yourself. You know, there's some things that are sinful in some countries and not sinful in the other. I work together, right? But there are things that you will consider as sin based on the world, right? So Jesus will say, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you. So what is expected from you when you have enemies? Love. What is expected from you when you hate? When somebody hates you, you bless them, you love them, you do good to them. Are we together, right? And pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. So will man persecute you? Yes. What should you do to them that despitefully use you and persecute you? The Bible says pray. You know, it shocks me when sometimes I ask myself questions and I'm like, how do people really explain Matthew 5? Are we together? Well, so look at verse 45. That ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. So what is the characteristics of our Father in heaven? For he maketh his son to rise on the evil and on the good. So it means that God does not give evil or an evil man what an evil man supposedly deserves. Are we together? So God's son is not shining on those that love him. God's sun is a sun that shines on both his enemies and shines on his lovers or his children. Are we together? So look at that carefully again. He says, for he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good. He sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. He sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. He sent. So does God give rain to man because man is righteous? No. God gives rain to man because God is a giver and a good giver. Are we together? Are we together? Are we together? So God gives rain to man because God is a giver. God gives rain. So God does not give rain to man because man does not despitefully use him. God gives rain to man because God is a giver, a good giver. Are we together? Right? Now look at verse 46. Yeah? So 46 now says, if ye love them which love you, what reward have you? So he's saying, if the people you love are those who love, are those who love you, like, what exactly is unique about that? Yeah? What exactly is unique about that? Think about that. Right? Tit for tat. What exactly is unique about that? You love me, you show me love today, I love you back, I show you love today. Yeah, so he says, if you love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans do same? That means you don't have to be a believer or a Christian before you know to love a man that loves you. You know, interestingly, we know people do terrible things to people that love them. Yes, we know. Yeah, but it is natural as a man to want to do good things to people that do good things to you alone. Jesus is saying, when you look at the template of God, it is really a conversation around doing good to a man that is not worthy. That is who you were. That is who I was. I was once a man not worthy of the love. Right now, I've received of his love, his gracious love. What is expected from me, I dispense that love to the evil, to the just, to the poor, to the rich, to the good, to the evil, to the ungodly. Why? Because that is the love we see as a template in Christ Jesus. Are we together? Right? So, he says, verse 47, if ye salute your brethren only, are you in verse 47? If you salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others? Do not even publicans do so? So if you greet only those, yeah, let's assume we want to take that in very layman English. So if you salute only those, say hello or greet those alone who are on your good page, who are doing good to you, or those who, you know, I got my back, I got your back, you got your back, I got your back. Right? Let me say it different. Is it bad when somebody doesn't have your back? Yes, it's a bad thing. It's not a good thing. Yeah? But what is expected of you? Not to respond to that person because he doesn't have your back, but respond to that person because God's got your back. That's what Matthew 5 is teaching. That's what Matthew 5 is teaching. Are we together? So he says, if you salute only them that salute you, that's what he's saying, if you salute only your brethren, what do ye more than others? Do not even publicans do so? So it means that Jesus is building a case for a publican kind of love, which is natural to man, and a God kind of love. Are we together? Right? Are we together? Right? So he now says in verse 48, be ye therefore perfect. So what is the perfection he's teaching about here? The perfection he's teaching about is the example of perfection that Jesus gives in that loving enemies. Pray for them that despitefully use you, or the father who allows his son on the unjust and the just, the father who allows his rain on the ungodly and the godly. Altogether. So be therefore perfect, even as your father which is in heaven is perfect. So what is the characteristics of the father in heaven? He is perfect. Perfect in that. So when you say, you are perfect in all of your ways, don't just see that perfection as his perfection. See that perfection as that which you ought to follow. So you see his perfection. He allows the sun on the evil, on the good. He allows his rain on the unjust and on the just. He is not partial to regarding his love. Right? So what's the difference between you and an unbeliever? It's really that you have received, they have not received. Are we together? That you are a believer doesn't mean that God loves you more. No, it's just you are the one who has received, accepted of his love. Are we together? Imagine a father who wants to send his two kids to his to school or to university or whatever it is, right? And he has money for both of them, right? And one of them says he wants to be a DJ. You know, nowadays, that's the second thing people want to do now. They don't want to go to school. Right? He wants to be a DJ, right? And the first one says he wants to go to school. And let's say both of them actually, one of them goes to school, the other doesn't go to school, right? You would not say that the one that goes to school is loved more by the father. You see, that example might not really click as well, because a lot of times, the father will eventually end up loving that one that goes to school more. You get the point, right? But the real, because father was a father who ideally want his child to go to school, major word, ideally, right? So in the real sense, it means that you will not say that the father loves the one that went to school because he went to school. Well, like I said, that might be the case. But it is that, and the father hates the other one. No, he supplies the same opportunity for both of them, right? So the other one can be loved by the father more, only to the degree in which you see that he accepts that which the father supplies or gives. All together. So this is Jesus. This is Jesus. Jesus says, be ye therefore perfect, even as your father is, everyone is perfect. So what does perfection entail from the believer? Perfection entails from the believer means see an example of loving enemies, right? Love your enemies, bless them that curse you, right? That is, do good to them that hate you, pray for them that despitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be children of a father who sends. So in the real sense, it means allow your rain to fall on the good and the evil. That's heavy, right? Allow your rain to fall on the good and on the evil. Right, so it means that, so when it says, if ye love them which love you, right, alone, what reward have ye? Do not even publicans do same? And if you salute your brethren only, are we together? What do ye more than the others? Right, we're together. So what does the love of the father entail? It means salute all. Are we together? It means what? Salute all. It means allow your ring to touch the garden of an evil and a just man. That's the fatherly love, right? So go back to Ephesians 5. Ephesians 5. Acts, Romans, 1 Corinthians, and Corinthians. All right. Right. So look at Ephesians 5. So it says, be ye therefore followers of God. Is that another way of saying be ye therefore perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect? Yeah, that's the same thing. Are we together? So when it says be ye therefore perfect, what is that? That is 1B. That is, be therefore followers of God. That is 1B. Altogether. So the Father supplies his reign to the unjust. That's out of his love. That's 1A. So his reign really will be that which is the saving plan. Yeah. So he supplies salvation to man. He supplies good to man. Altogether. The man can choose to receive or not. Altogether. So look at Ephesians 5. Be therefore followers of God as dear children. So let's read Ephesians 5 verse 1 and 2, then go all the way to Ephesians 4 verse 31 and 32. Ephesians 5, 1 and 2. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love, even as Christ has loved us and had given himself for us an offering, are we together, and a sacrifice to God as a sweet smelling savour. Let all bitterness and wrath, are we together? Look at Philippians. Philippians 2, the next book, Philippians 2. Philippians 2. Look at Philippians 2, verse 3. It says, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory. Right? But in lowliness of mind. In lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Where do you think you will find an example of esteeming others better than yourself? It is in the example of God our Savior. How do you know? Look at the next verse. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you. Let this mindset be in you, which was in Christ Jesus, who though being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but he made himself of no reputation. Dear saint, you see, what is making a lot of us not to walk in love as much as we need to is we think too highly of us. You know, I said that earlier. You think too highly of yourself. Yeah? You think too highly of yourself a lot of times. A lot of times. I want to get that. You think too highly of yourself. Yeah? You see, look at that. So what is Philippians teaching you today? Philippians says, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each, that is, let every man esteem the other better than themselves. So I don't see, you see that thing called superiority complex? It's not of God, it's devilish. Altogether, it's earthly, it's devilish, it's man-made, manly. Are we together, right? You see, that selfish attitude, that superiority complex, right? Who are you? Yeah, who gave it to you? Eh? Who brought you into this world? Eh? Who are you? You're really saying who are you? Who brought you into this world? Eh? I've been a Christian before they gave birth to your mother. And you are behaving this way? It just really means James 1 is not being obeyed. Be ye therefore doers of the word. Yeah, simple. Be ye therefore doers. So what do we see these instructions in the Bible written for? So that we can do them, not just hear them. He says, do not be hearers alone, but be doers of the word. So we are doers of the word we see in the scriptures. So what does the word say in Philippians 2? Let nothing be done through strife or vain glorying, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. How did Paul teach in Romans chapter 12, verse 10? He says, esteeming one another. Are we together? He says, let each esteem others better than themselves. So what did Paul say? He says, let this mindset be in you. Let this ideology be in you. See, that thing that makes you feel too big, that thing that makes you feel like, oh, why will you talk to me that way? Well, yeah, that's self. Are we together? Is it right for someone to talk to you in a very ridiculous way? No, it's not right, though. But what is the point of today's teaching? Is that do not think of yourself as higher or highly. Or let me say it differently. Do you esteem the other? Look at that carefully. It says, let each esteem other better than themselves. Are we together? Are we together? Right? You see, I've been in this world before you. Right? When did they give birth to you? How old are you? Well, you see, do people who are younger than you behave ridiculously and shamelessly? Oh yes, people do. What is expected from you? Not on account of what they do, should you respond or react to them, but on account of what God has done for you. All together. What are you doing? You should, you know, have those moments as a believer where you will say, what you are doing is ridiculous, right? But I will not allow my ego get into the way. Are we together? I would, whilst guarding my heart, still embrace you as a sister, or still embrace you as a brother, or still embrace you as a neighbor. Did you see that? Right? So it says, let each esteem others better than themselves. Let this mindset be in you. So what was the mindset Christ had? Esteemed other. Right? So he prioritized you and gave his life. So when you receive, I receive the life of God, I receive his fullness, right? In singing all of that, it is you receive, so you see an example of what you need to dispense. Did you see that? So it says, let this mindset be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, so Jesus was God in the flesh, right? What did he do in verse 8? He made himself of no reputation. Altogether, and he took upon himself the form of a servant. They're saying that should be your heart towards another neighbor. Are we together? He took upon himself the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. Are we together? Look at verse 8. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself. So when you look at God, what should you control, copy and paste first? Humility. When you look at God, what should you copy and control paste? Yeah, making yourself of no reputation. Are we together? Right? In the real sense, it means, so what does making yourself of no reputation mean? It means that man will ridicule you. Man will do ridiculous things to you. See, is there anything, let me say this carefully. Can you get hurt by how man treats you? Yes. Should you remain hurt? No. Are we together? You see, it might not be the easiest of things for you to say, I will never be hurt. No. It might not be the easiest. We are growing. We should grow. But what should differ in your spiritual growth is 5 years ago, when somebody did this to me, I will not forgive the person until 7 months' time. 5 years after, when someone does the same thing to me, I forgive the person 5 minutes later. Let's even assume, you say, and let's say seven months time. Yeah. So 7 months time. Let's say I forgive the person 1 month later, or I forgive that person 1 month after, right? In 3 years from now, your 1 month this year should not be 3 months, or 1 month, 3 days. It should be, you strive to be better at that, right? So it means that, oh, 7 years ago, when somebody offends me, it takes me 7 months to forgive the person, right? Today, 7 years after, when somebody offends me, it takes me 1 month to forgive the person. Seven years down the line, and when somebody offends me, in 7 minutes, I should get my heart basking in the reality of God's voice or God's love for me and give much more, or give from that which has been given to me, the forgiveness of sins. So God has forgiven me. So that's why John will say, hereby perceive the love. That means we learn to know, we learn to understand. Why are we learning to know? So it reframes our mind, it reframes our consciousness, it reframes our activities to regarding man, regarding your neighbor. Did you see that? Right? So he says he was humble and he became obedient unto death, even the death of his cross. Right? So go back to Ephesians 5. Let's try to tie the knot around this evening. So he says, be ye therefore followers of God. So what are the things you will find in following God? Is that you will see the life that Christ led and see that as an example. You will see the humility of Christ and see that as an example. You will see Christ making himself of no reputation and see that as an example. You will see Christ, giving up his life for humanity and see that as an example. So that we can, what? You see, that's like John will say, what? We ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. All together. Why do you think Jesus gives an instruction to walk in love, same as Peter, same as Paul, same as the disciples and apostles? Is because it is doable. Why is it doable? The template you need is right in you. The template you need is right in you. The template you need is right in you. Who were you? Romans 5, once an enemy, once ungodly. Never forget that about you. Don't think of yourself as now I'm the pastor of God's palace, right? I am now the head of the body of Christ. I'm now the head. Well, always remind yourself that, oh, whilst you are, you see, the Bible says in Ephesians 2, for by grace, I work together, we are saved by his grace, by his mercy, by his compassion, by his love. Why? So that we can save others that are wallowing in the midst of bad conduct, that are wallowing in the midst of ridiculous attitudes towards us, that are mallowing, or that want to mallow in the world of malice. Are we together? We'll look at that maybe tomorrow or next. Bible will say, follow peace with all men as long as it lieth with you. I wonder how people explain the scriptures away. I really wonder. Like I said earlier on, you see, if we actually come to say, oh, this is what the Bible says, but I don't think, so imagine 7 years ago, 7 years after, 7 years forward. You see, if we are 7 years after and you admit to yourself that you are not 7 years ahead, let's say 7 years from where you were 7 years ago, let's say you are staying maybe 4 years ahead, but I'm striving to be 7 years ahead, I'm properly 7 years ahead. I hope you get that explanation. All together, as at 2020, right? Yeah, you were forgiving people 7 months after. Are we together? As at 2023, you're forgiving people 6 months after, or 5 months after. Well, so if you say that, 2020 to 2023, I've not grown to be in 2023, right? I think I'm still in 2021, and I'm still growing. That's even a more logical explanation to have. Right? And what do we do with that? We don't just say you are green. That means don't forgive you. Just believe in your life. No, it is now keep exposing your heart voraciously to the word of God, the word of his grace, the word of his mercy, the words of his compassion. Right? And you see, when you do that, you actually owe man what? Forgiveness. You owe man the love walk. He said again, so look at that. He says, be therefore followers of God as dear children and walk in love as Christ has also loved us and had given himself for us an offering and sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savour. That's 31 of chapter 4. Let all bitterness, let all wrath, let all anger and clamor and evil speaking, right, be put away from you with all malice. Yet, so, can bitterness exist between brother B and brother C, or brother A and brother B? Yes, right? If brother A finds out that brother B is bitter towards him, what is the Bible expecting brother A to do? Respond to brother B's bitterness by paying attention to the instructions in the word. What really should brother B do? go back to God's word and actually respond to God's word in that you don't keep malice. So it means that brother A will not respond to brother B because of what brother B is doing to brother A. And brother B will not respond to brother A because of what brother A is doing to brother B. Right? But brother A will respond to brother B on account of what God, the father of both brother A and B, are we together? The father that gives love to humanity has dispersed towards you. Right? What kind of love am I teaching? I'm teaching the love that is not publican love. Because what is publican love? Love them that love you. Yeah? I live for me, you are for me. I live for me, you are for me. If you are not for me, you are not for me. If you are not for me, you are not for me. So because you are not for me, I will hate you with all my heart. Why? In quotes, I'm guarding my heart. Come on, get that heart away into the right place. Put your heart in the right place. Are we together? Get your heart in the right place. Expose your heart to the word of God voraciously. Right? Read God's word and see that you owe man. Look at Romans. Let me close in Romans this evening. Look at Romans. I want to get, you know, sometimes when you teach God's word, you just get into God's word and you're like, how do people actually miss this very clear cut? You see, we don't need Greek words to explain walking love. Like, you don't need it. It's clear. You don't need Greek words. See, when I say the word for follower there is to mimic, yeah, well, we can stay with follower and we'll be fine. What does it mean to follow? It means to follow. Follow. So I am a follower of God. Are we together? I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. Yeah, we know. Yeah, but a lot of times, a lot of people want to try to turn back. Now, not turn back in regards to their salvation, but turn back in trying to see where can they pick malice from and wear it as a jacket. I was together. Yeah? You cannot keep malice more than me. You cannot be bitter more than me. I can outdo you in bitter. Really, what should you be outdoing people with? In love. With love. Look at Romans 9, Romans 12. Let me close in Romans 13, 8. Oh, wow. Time is gone. Wow. Right? Look at Romans 13, 8. It says, owe no man anything but to love one another. So, does the Bible teach you should owe man something? Yes. What should you owe? Love thy neighbor. Love thy neighbor as you have been loved. So love, owe no man anything but to love one another. Look at what it says. For he that loveth another had fulfilled the law. He that loveth another had fulfilled the law. What law will he be teaching about? The law we just explained from Matthew 22. That shall love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy mouth, with all thy soul, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Are we together? Or thou shalt love one another as I have loved you. John 13, 34. Are we together? So, what should be your conduct and your slant towards a man who does something terrible to you? Right? So, see, you know the funny thing? When explaining the categories of naughtiness that man can do to man, for all the scriptures where you see walking in love as an instruction, there was no cap. Let me tell you what I mean. What I mean is, he didn't say walk in love until this is what the person does. No. Right? And that's why sometimes you see some people, they walk in hatred because another person doesn't believe doctrine like them or doesn't believe what they... No. What do you owe a man, right, who doesn't feast on God's word, love? Right? In giving what you owe the man, you've done well. Are we together? Is he doing well? No. But are you doing well? Yes, you are doing well. Right? Let's close back in 1 John 3. 1 John 3. Wow, the time went out on me. Right? Look at 1 John 3. So 1 John 3 now says, hereby perceive with the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, we ought to lay down our lives for others. So what is hereby perceive with the love of God because he laid down his life for us? 1a. What is we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren? 1b. Are we together? So what did Jesus say? He says, on these commandments do the law and the prophets hang on. Are we together? So it means that you can summarize the Bible as love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy mind, and love thy neighbor as you have been loved. Are we together? Don't forget, right? God expects a lot from you as a believer. God expects a lot from all of us as believers. We are all growing believers. But God really does expect a whole lot from us. The word says so. And what do? We decide not to be hearers alone, but doers of the word. Well, it's been a beautiful pleasure to talk to you. Thank you for giving me your 1 hour, 30 minutes this beautiful evening. Well, let me not put it in that 90 minutes, just in minutes, right? Thank you for giving me your time this evening, your listening ears this evening. Been a beautiful pleasure to bring God's word your way this evening, right? I'll come your way again tomorrow. The Nigerian Church, you're meeting online 7 o'clock tomorrow. No fiscal gathering, the Abuja Church tomorrow. We gather here again tomorrow, 7 p.m. and continue feasting on God's word, right? Until I come away again, get your heart in check, get your heart in place. Put yourself in the shoes of our masters and see the example he has laid for you to follow. I love you dearly. I love you dearly. And I know that you and I, in obedience to the gospel, will take the gospel, in obedience to Jesus, will take the gospel to the ends of the earth. Have a lovely night, rest. Cheers.